5-yard line. Second and goal. Allen. Hopkins. Protection steps down. Winston fires over the middle. And it's picked off by Quint Demps. Pass intended for Evans.
This is Blue.
There certainly are things to improve on, but I thought that he managed the game better. I think he got us into the right play better. I thought his mechanics were better. He was tighter in the pocket. He was a bit more accurate. He completed more balls. I think we were more balanced, and I think that helped him. We were able to run the football. I thought he did a good job on third down. You know, we were 44% on third down, which is pretty good considering that, you know, our defense did a great job against their offense on third down. I think they were 8%. They had one third down conversion. We had 8 third down conversions, and I think a lot of that had to do with our receivers and our line, but Mal delivering the ball on time and accurately.
So the Texans are off to Schneid. How many more wins to come? And oh, what a weekend in college football. So much to get to, so little time. Let's just jump right in. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model. No Jong Lee today. He's off having fun. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. No, at Jongy Football. Aaron, what's your Twitter, dude?
At Producer A Radio, R-A-Y-D-I-O.
So you can't spell radio. All right, at Producer A Radio. I'll try to remember that for the next hour. No Degenerates 975 today, because Jong always does that. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776, and it's a Monday. It's a beautiful day outside. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. I know I sure did. Let's talk some football. How was your weekend?
It was busy.
Yeah?
You know, I did the watch party at Luke's on Saturday, and then I did I went to the Texans game on Sunday, so it just... It doesn't always feel like I had a real weekend.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's worse stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent a lot of time over at the old stomping grounds this weekend. I went to the UH game Saturday, and then Sunday morning, that Run Houston series we do, had a 10K at the UH campus,
yeah,
which was really cool. So got to spend a lot of time there. All I can tell you is that place looks a lot different than it did when I went to school. I mean, there's so much stuff there. And that's what happens when you're old.
Sure, they have like...
toilets now.
They have computers, they have...
Yeah, toilets.
Electricity,
yeah, all those things. But, no, fun weekend, man. I got to warn you, though, I don't know how the show's going to go. I've totally changed my routine starting this week.
What do you mean your routine?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a creature of habit. Like, I do everything the same way every day before a show. Okay. I usually work out in the morning and stuff like that. And I'm trying to do something different this week because I'm going to... I mean, I'm really going to push myself to see how hard I can work out. So I'm doing my workouts right before the show now instead of in the mornings. So because I'm always got a ton of energy afterwards.
Okay.
So I'm really feeling it right now. I'm just hoping that about 6:15, I'm like, AJ, can you take care of the rest of the show? So we'll see how this goes. So if I'm sharp and on my game, then I'm going to do this every day. So just so you know.
All right.
I'm mixing things up because the Texans won.
How'd you feel about that performance?
I thought, I'm just going to tell you right now, Texan fan, you're not going to like what I have to say. You didn't like what I wrote yesterday. That's fine. I am very concerned about this football team because that's a game that, now let me start with this. I think they can get better. I expect more out of this defense moving forward. I think we'll see better performances out of them. I totally disagree with Bill O'Brien on third down because on third and long, they ran that same damn receiver screen every single play and it never worked. I don't know what the hell they were thinking. That was driving me nuts. But defensively, one turnover against a rookie quarterback, no sacks, those are concerns. The fact that the other thing that bothered me about the defensive performance was that there were plays out there for them to make and they didn't do it. Now, they played well enough to win. They held them to 10 points, but let's keep in mind what you're playing. You're playing a rookie quarterback in his third game in your own building. You should be better than that. And last year when they played guys like this, they feasted on them.
Right.
So I was a little concerned about that. Offensively, I thought they were better. I thought the offensive line played better. I've been saying this all along. Alfred Blue should be getting the ball. And, you know, they went away from the run last week because it wasn't doing much, and part of that was the offensive line. But that guy can carry the load for you until Foster gets back. He should be carrying the ball more. They did that. They blocked better. Presto, it makes it easier on Ryan Mallett. But he still missed too many passes. There were too many drops. This is not a good team they played yesterday. You could argue it's the easiest game on their schedule.
Right.
And they were all out. If their kicker didn't out Fat Aggie the Fat Aggie, that's a totally different ball game. So I was not as encouraged. I thought they were going to kind of house them. I really did. I felt like the Texans would, okay, they're going to show me they're really good. They're better than I think they are. I didn't see that yesterday. What I saw was a team that was all out to beat a really bad team. And the bright side is I think they can get better. That's the thing. I see where they can get better. I think the defense can be better than it is right now. And offensively, Arian Foster will certainly help. If they can get this offensive line sorted out, okay. But Nate Washington has to hold on to the ball. He needs to be looking for it, too. That one play was just, you know, I just wanted to pull out what was left of my hair. But on the whole, they got a win. That's about the only thing I can say about it. It was not the kind of performance I was expecting to see out, or I was hoping to see out of them, to show me that, hey, they might be able to go into Atlanta and give them a game.
Right.
They might be able to beat, well, they'll probably be able to beat the Colts in 2 weeks, but that.
You think they will be able to beat the Colts?
The Colts are awful. They were lucky to win that game yesterday. You're completely lucky to win that game.
The Texans aren't awful?
No, they both are. That's my point.
Okay.
You're playing, you've got two awful teams that are going to win. I mean, this could be 8-8 to win the division, if that. But no, I'm not encouraged at all by that game. And if anything,
that game looked like no one wanted to win. I mean, it really looked like both those teams were trying to throw the game. And, you know, thankfully it didn't end in a tie because I wouldn't have wanted to have to sit through overtime. But finally, you know, I don't know if the Texans accidentally scored or what, but finally the Texans were able to take control of that game. But, I mean, it was an ugly game to watch, first of all. It wasn't a pretty game to
sit there and watch. And they're not going to win pretty games. They're going to win games like this. But they're also going to have to get, and I know it sounds silly when they give up 10 points, but you think about all those field goals left out there and an extra point. It wasn't that good. They've got to get, their defense is going to have to make more plays to swap the field on them. That's how they're going to have to win. They're not doing that right now. Now, they did get a better performance out of Vince Wilfork. He finally looked like himself again. Jonathan Joseph played much, much better yesterday.
Vince Wilfork benefited from a holding call where he basically tried to turn upfield to chase the screen and fell down, and they called holding. But
he does fall down a lot.
He does fall down.
But he did play better. Joseph played better in general.
Yeah, but what's the status of Joseph?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because he got knocked out.
Yep, and that's about what happens. Once he starts playing well, he tends to get hurt.
Although, hey, DeAndre Hopkins was concussy, and then that dude came through with a hundo and a touchdown.
Yeah, and he left some plays out there, too. He had a couple of balls that he should have been able to bring down. So, in general, I don't think they played anywhere near their best. But I also just – I was really discouraged that they didn't beat that team worse than they did. That they didn't look like clearly the better team. They looked like the team that wound up winning the game.
Right. I think the thing that I take the most positive – you know, the most positivity out of on this game is – the running game. I thought that they ran the ball. I mean, I don't think they did run the ball very effectively yesterday. Blue ran hard. He broke tackles. He looked like he did in, I don't remember what game it was last year, but the one game that he played where we were like, man, Alfred Blue can play a little. And then he turned into a pumpkin for the rest of the season and has continued to be a pumpkin until yesterday. And yesterday we saw what we knew he could do, but he just hasn't done. So kudos to him for finally coming through, and kudos to the coaching staff for continuing to feed him.
Well, and I think that's part of it. I think he's one of those guys that needs to keep getting the ball.
46 carries. That's and the fact that there was 46 carries and 39 passes. That's what this team needs to do to win. That's what they have to do to win. They need to, if they're not going to be totally balanced, they need to be leaning on the run game more than they do on Ryan Mallett. O'Brien saying that Mallett looked more accurate and things like that. That's debatable.
It is debatable.
Most of his completions were, you know, short screen pass.
Well, that's their offense. It really is. They don't look downfield a lot. You've got a guy with that kind of arm. I'd like to see him take some shots down the field more than they have. And especially those third down calls where it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8, and you're throwing that receiver screen that everybody knows is coming. What'd they do that 3 times on third down yesterday?
That play is so stupid.
It is. It's got no chance. I hate when you run plays that have
no chance. That's high school football stuff. I don't like that in the NFL.
And I loved how he came out and talked about how good they were on third down. Just imagine how good you would have been if you'd actually taken a shot to get a first down on some of those. But overall, Mallett, I think, looked better. Would have been hard for him to not be better. The interception was just, that was one of those, just lack of awareness of a guy right there in the face. But otherwise, I thought he made some good throws. If these guys can learn to catch the ball, that's going to help him a little bit. But more importantly, if they can run the ball like that, and you give the ball to Alfred Blue 31 times and he averages 4.5 yards a carry, that's going to be, that's what you have to do in order to be effective. And, you know, it'll be Arian Foster here soon, I'm sure.
Right.
But if you can do that, and I don't care how many times you throw the ball after that, because if you're running it 31 times, you're probably in the game.
You should be.
Yeah, that was the problem, I think, the first 2 weeks. They got so far behind that they just went away from it, and you're asking Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett to win games for you. Well, they didn't have to do that yesterday. Now, what you should be doing is asking your damn defense to win for you. And I just think there were some... I think there's some concerns on that side of the ball, because I'm not seeing the explosiveness. I'm not seeing the forced fumbles. The interception was really, I think, Winston making a bad decision to throw into double coverage more than it was somebody making a play.
Yeah, that's just a poor decision.
Yeah,
I understand. Winston was, it's a little bit double edged, because it's pretty clear that the best player on that offense is Mike Evans. That guy makes some freakish catches, and a couple of them got called back.
Yeah,
but that is that guy is a problem, and he's going to continue to get better. So I understand Jameis wanting to kind of force the ball to him, but on that interception, that was like double, damn near triple coverage.
Yeah,
there was no good way to throw that ball to Mike Evans, and he made the decision to do it, and obviously went back to bite him, but. The pass rush wasn't as good yesterday as we've seen, even in the first two games, or much less last year. I don't think they had a sack yesterday.
They didn't. And that's, to me, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but here's why it's even more of a big deal, in my opinion. You're about to see the two best quarterbacks that you've seen in the next two games. Matt Ryan and Andrew Luck are your next two quarterbacks that you'll face, and if you don't put pressure on those guys, there's going to be a problem. And now, to be fair, at least neither one of those are great offensive lines, although Atlanta's done a really good job protecting Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan looks like he's got something going. And Julio Jones
is sick right
now. I don't even want to think what Julio Jones is going to do to this team next week, this Texans team. If they play in the secondary like they have through 3 weeks, it's going to be humiliating. But you know, they don't have a great offensive line, so this is a chance for maybe the Texans to get some push and dump Matt Ryan on his head. And same with the Colts. The Colts have not really been able to give Andrew Luck the time he needs. And Andrew Luck's been prone to turn the ball over.
Yeah.
If they can get some good pressure the next couple weeks, it's going to have to be better than what they did yesterday, though.
It's going to have to be considerably better.
Yeah.
And if you're going to keep double and triple teaming Watt, somebody on that defense has to get to the quarterback.
But just like I said, the fact that this team ran the way they did yesterday, and comparing that to the first two games, and that's why you see a win, in my opinion. I think it's pretty simplistic. You run for 186 yards. You control the ball. You don't put everything on your sorry ass quarterbacks to win the game for you. You win. If you do like what you did last week, you run for 60 yards right. and you have your quarterback throw it 50 times, you lose. It's not
rocket science.
We've said all along the
way they're going to have to win games is play really good defense, force some turnovers on defense, run the football, keep the other team off the field.
They ran for more yards yesterday than they did in week one and two combined. So I don't think it's any shock that you got a better result.
And that's how they're going to have to play. But for those of you who keep saying, oh, you're being too negative, they're going to have to do a better job of that moving forward because this –
Well, this was probably, I mean, this is the worst team you'll play for the first five games.
Yeah, maybe the worst team you'll play all year.
Very well could be.
And if not, they're going to be in that discussion. So you got to do a better job of that. I know all you guys want to hear is positives, positives, positives. There were some positives.
There were some positives.
And they
for
won
sure.
the game. But those of you talking about, oh, now they're right back in it. No, no, they're not. They got a lot to fix. Quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Let's try a phone call. Reggie, you're on The Blitz. Go. What's up, Reggie?
I just want to call and say, man, you guys are so correct. And I am a true Texans fan. But, man, if anybody looked at that game yesterday and said that the Texans are looking good, they have to be crazy. Because our defense doesn't look great. Offense looks terrible. And we played the worst team this year that we're going to play. I mean, if we win two to three games this year, we're lucky. And I love the show, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Reggie. Honestly, I'm not going to go the two or three win route because I do think they can improve, and I see a lot of areas where that possibility exists. I'm not seeing it yet. I don't see this team as playing much different than it did against the Panthers in terms of quality. The difference was is they were able to run the ball, and frankly, the Buccaneers couldn't do enough on offense to threaten them the way the Panthers did. So. It just, from my perspective, it's great that they got a win. This division is garbage. And frankly, you know, I don't know what's going on with the Colts, but they're not very scary right now.
No.
So, you know, yeah, it's good that you got a win, but there's going to have to be some improvement. I think they will get better, but they need to get significantly better. And some things that, especially starting next week, because if you go in there against Atlanta and play the same game, you're getting beat by two touchdowns.
Yeah. Atlanta's playing really well right now.
Yeah.
I mean, for that team to be 3-0. And
that's why I'm saying defensively, they need to do some of the things they did last year, which was force turnovers and get points off defense and flip the field on defense and give the offense a short field so that they can score with the Falcons. That's your method of winning, that and running the ball really well. As Dallas did in the first half and then got away from it in the second half. Now, to be fair, I think the Falcons made some really good adjustments that slowed down Randall in the second half. But if you're going to win a game like that, that's what it's going to take, a couple of turnovers, which Matt Ryan will turn the ball over if you get enough pressure on him. And that's what they need to do. If they can do that, flip the field a couple times, get some points off of that, and then possess the ball, yeah, that's how they're going to have to win. But I'm not seeing enough of that yet through three games to think they can do it. That's all.
Yeah.
Sorry if that makes me way too negative.
I mean, I don't think you're being negative. You're warning. And this is, you know, it'd be silly to come in here and, you know, with our chests huffed out saying the Texans are back on the winning track and it looks like they're headed in the right direction. But I just don't necessarily feel like it is.
No, and I think that's overly simplistic after a win to just come in here and punch their clowns the whole time.
Yeah.
If they had won that game 35-0 and looked brilliant in all phases, yeah. But that wasn't the case. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Let's try Brian because I wanted to get on a couple of these topics too. I want to get to college football a little bit. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports.
Hey, I was wondering, after watching this TCU Tech game this weekend, do you think Texas Tech has the potential to kind of wreck the Big 12 in terms of giving Baylor a run and then, you know, kind of going back to what happened in the Big 12, like in 2008, where, you know, OU lost to Texas and then Tech beat Texas and you had these 3 1-loss teams. Do you think Texas Tech has the potential to kind of do that in terms of, you know, them beating Baylor and then possibly Baylor beating TCU and then them all, you know, having one loss at the end of the season?
Well, I hate to be the one to throw water on Tech. I think that was more that TCU's defense is an absolute mess right now. And let's be honest, TCU had no – they got lucky. That play at the end of the game was pure luck, but you didn't win that game. I don't think you're beating Baylor. I think Baylor's better than TCU. You've also got Oklahoma State to play. You've got Oklahoma to play. I think you're better this year, no question, but getting through the conference with one loss – give you less than 1% chance of that.
Yeah.
So, I if I'm TCU fan, I'm concerned because this team's going to lose more than one game with that defense playing like that.
Did I say a bunch of good stuff about Andrew Luck?
No, you didn't say anything good about Andrew Luck.
I said is Andrew Luck no longer a good quarterback in the NFL? Is that a thing now? He's had 3 bad games, so he's no longer a good NFL quarterback. I said that the Texans are going to see the 2 best quarterbacks they've seen so far in the next 2 games.
Right.
And, of course, Nolan, oh, here you go, sucking his D. And then he puts up the NFL statistic leaders for passer rating, where Andrew Luck is 32nd in the league right now. And Andy Dalton is 2nd, by the way. So if you're buying stock, Andy Dalton is better now, significantly better than Andrew Luck. Ryan Mallett also better than Andrew Luck. And I'm sure most Texans fans are glad to know that they've got the Colts beat in that category, and none of them would want to make that trade if it were available. Quit being a douchebag, Nolan.
Oh, no, that's what he does, man. He's got to. Jesse says what the Texans need to do is fire Bullock.
I can't be more serious about this. That guy shouldn't have a job. And it's very funny to me, and I know they used a draft pick on him, and, you know, shame on you for that. But at some point, this guy is going to miss kicks that, and he has missed kicks that cost you games. And it's the NFL, man. You can't have that. And I'm not saying this because he's here. Tampa's kicker should be in the same boat.
Yeah,
that dude kicked the ball that I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that 58 yarder that cleared it by 15 yards.
Yeah, that would have been good from 70. And I was like, man, this kid is something. And then he goes on to miss 2 field goals and an extra point. Yeah. You can't miss easy kicks in the NFL and stay employed. And Randy Bullock's missed a ton.
Yeah.
And it's no longer.
That's 2 extra points already. And somebody asked earlier, what do you think of the extra point rule now that they moved it back and it's not automatic? It's like, I think.
I like it.
I do too, because that means those guys have to make it. It was funny when the kid for the Bucks hit that field goal. I'm like, man, I wish the Texans had a guy who could do that. Then he hits the upright on the field goal. I'm like, oh, well, Texans already have a guy who can do that. So.
Yeah.
But
that's something that's got to change, and really that's the easiest change to make. Nobody gets upset when the kicker gets cut. You know, there's nobody if your guy sucks, you go find another one. It's not like this is some guy who's got a long-standing history of greatness. It's not like we're talking about Adam Vinatieri here or somebody like that. This guy can be gone tomorrow and replaced, and no one would bat an eye. And at this point, I think it's time to start thinking about that.
All right. We will continue this. We'll continue college football.
On another kicker note, angry Shane Leckler was the best part of yesterday's game.
I read his lips very well when he said, catch the bleeping ball.
He was pissed, and rightfully so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was a couple plays like that one, and then Nate Washington not looking up for the ball and it bouncing right in front of him. I mean, there was a couple plays where it's like, oh, how does this happen? But I don't blame Randy Bullock for being pissed off. All right, guys, got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter.
law enforcement. They're stepping up efforts. No refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. So if your weekend sucked because of a DWI, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you. A lot of things you should know about those tests. They're inaccurate. They're the breath test machines, they're not even warranted for breath testing on humans. They make temperature assumptions and create artificially high results and destroy the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. A lot of inaccuracies about police blood testing you should know about. They're not testing your blood like a doctor would do. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. And failing these tests isn't the end of the world. Juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with these machines. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He is a DWI specialist. He's here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about police blood tests, and he's experienced in talking to juries about the science. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
Driving as fast as we can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance.
You're listening to The Blitz.
On ESPN.
Once upon a time, a few mistakes ago, in your sights, you got me alone. You found me, you found me, you found me.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
And we are back on the Blitz. This is one of those songs you hear in the casino. On loop, basically. Come on, Aaron. It's a Monday. You got to bring the pain. We need to get
it
our game.
It gets a little
up
harder for you.
Come on.
You're a fan of covers and punk covers at that.
You can do better than this.
I'll try to up my game.
Please. You got a lot of good stuff in there that really kicks. Feel free. Okay. Nolan, stop it. Says you're spot on about the Texans today. Lucky the division is complete dog. Don't tell us we're spot on because that's not your bit. Okay. Your bit is to take everything we say and completely spin it into something that pisses you off. So, please, no kissing up.
But that's true. I mean, the division is really bad. The Colts don't look like anyone or what anyone expected of them. But on the same side, I honestly think that the Titans and Jags, even though they're 1-2, they appear to be better than they have been. So, the downside is for the Texans, I don't think that there's any gimme like lock games that they're going to win in the division. You know what I mean?
Last year you pretty much could pencil in Titans and Jags no matter what. I still think they're better than those teams, but I need to see more improvement out of them, and I think we will. I just don't know if it's going to be enough moving forward. I'll tell you, the Colts don't scare me at all. That team's kind of a mess, and I know they won yesterday. And
they're not good right now.
And Colts fan was texting, "Oh, they got the offense together."
No,
they didn't. And they got a fluke interception return for a touchdown too. And that defense is awful. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, that's you know, when it was one or two games, you're like, okay, you know, maybe they're just trying to work some things out here. That's a game last week, and to be fair, the two games they played, their first two games, the Bills and Colts appear to be two of the better defenses in the NFL. The Titans aren't one of those.
No.
This was set up to be a get-right game for the Colts, and they eked out a win.
They were very lucky to get out of there with a win. And you know what? That's okay. For a lot of the same things I'm saying about the Texans, I'd be saying if I was in Indianapolis today. So, yeah, that's a win, but, boy, there's a lot that needs to be fixed. And yeah, I think, again, I see some positives out of Ryan Mallett. I see some things better than last week, and I think part of it was because they were able to run the ball, and that's what they need to do, and not ask him to go out there and win the game for them. If they can do that and he can keep taking steps forward, then I think they'll be okay, but I need to see more.
Yeah.
That's all. And I think if you're, for those of you who are just blindly saying, oh, this is great, Well, you be satisfied with it. I'm going to be satisfied with progress and seeing a team play better football as the season goes on so that they can be competitive for a division title, not just, oh, well, they can go 6-10. We just have different expectations, and I think too many people just say, oh, well, you know, we'll take a win.
Right.
We are Texans, woo. Chad says, what are the chances the Colts cut Andre Johnson at the end of the year? I don't know if he's going to last a year. That guy's been useless for them. And that's one thing the Texans got right, letting that guy walk.
Yeah, that guy is, I hate to say, like, washed up, but he looks to be washed up. And probably the smartest thing, and the smartest thing he could have done is what he did. Go somewhere and get the money.
Yep.
Because if he were still here, people would be pissed off at him. Oh, what's he doing?
Well, remember last year, he had a lot of plays with the fumbles, and there were some games where it looked like he quit. People were already starting to grumble. You imagine now, when the performance goes down on top of that. Yeah. Let's grab a couple more calls. Let's try Chad. Go, Chad.
How y'all doing?
We're doing sports.
Listen every day, love the show, first time caller. I just want to ask you guys, what's y'all opinion about the Texas wide receiver corps? Because I feel like that's their main problem. You know, I feel DeAndre Hopkins is not a number one receiver. He lacks the speed, you know, to take the top off the D, as well as the aggressiveness underneath, as well as the rest of the receiving corps. It seems like the last 4-2, 4-3 receiver we drafted was Andre Johnson. And since then, the rest of the guys, it seemed like my friends off the couch are a lot faster than, you know. So I'm going to hang up and listen.
I don't know. I think DeAndre, I don't think he's a traditional, you know, number one ace wide receiver, I think he's been solid, and I think he's going to continue to get better. Is he Julio Jones or AJ Green?
No.
But the, you know how many teams have
four,
one of those?
Five of those in the league. You know, throw Des Bryant in there.
Yeah. DeAndre's a solid
Calvin
player.
Johnson.
And if you,
Mike Evans might become that guy.
Yeah. I if you look around the, take the division, for instance, the Texans division, you know, you compare him to T.Y. Hilton. I don't know that he's worlds behind T.Y. Hilton.
I think if you flip-flop those two guys, I think he puts up better numbers than T.Y.
Hilton. Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, if he's got Andrew Luck and not Ryan Mallett. Allen Robinson in Jacksonville.
Better
is
than
it
him.
Kendall Wright in Tennessee or whoever it is. I mean, DeAndre is probably, as far as number one wide receivers in the league go, he's probably somewhere middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that there's some teams that don't have a number two that's better than him, but the Texans aren't, you know, it's not like it's a disaster at number one, and their number two, whoever you want it to be any given week, whether it's Nate Washington or Cecil Shorts, these are just stopgap guys until they you know, find something better. But
which you hope that you've drafted that guy, whether it's Mumphrey or Strong down the road. I mean, those guys take time, and but neither of those, I guess Mumphrey's a little more explosive, but no, they don't have the 4-3 burner type, which is something that I think they need on this team down the road, whether it's receiver or running back, a guy who can play the Darren Sproles role for you at running back, for instance, or a slot receiver who can get down the field. Although I'll say this about Cecil Shorts, while he's not fast, he's kind of football fast. You get him in space, he can make plays with the ball. Washington too, the problem is they're just, you're not getting a lot of those plays, and trying to throw those screen passes to him don't work. Shorts is a lot better. You get him on a slant, you know, get him a little bit downfield, and he can make a guy miss, and he winds up getting more yards out of it than you were expecting. I'm not seeing enough of that out of him, but they'll figure that out, I hope. I mean, got to keep in mind, you got a first-time play caller calling your offensive plays too, and that's another area where I can see improvement down the road. We'll see. I mean, again, I'm not, you know, I'm just saying, I think there's a chance this team can get better, but they need to. And I'm looking for places where they can. Anyway. You know what? You know how to get better if you got a business? Go to SiteJab. If you're a business owner, you're looking for more leads. Have you tried looking your business up on the internet? If it's hard to find, guess what? Customers are having an even more difficult time trying to find you. If you're, especially if you're just getting started and you're trying to build your business, here's what SiteJab has done. They've helped local businesses grow their leads from 30 to as much as 75% in just a few months. Imagine what that can mean to your bottom line. There have been several companies that started off as mom and pops. They go to SiteJab, and now they're having to hire a bunch of people. Their business has grown so fast. From website design to search engine optimization, even pay-per-click management, SiteJab.com is your solution when it comes to growing your business. And SiteJab is based right here in Houston. They love helping Houston businesses. They love helping businesses over in Beaumont, over in the Golden Triangle. If you're trying to build up, this is the place to go. Give them a call, 713-999-4661. Hector Garcia started this business with a vision to help local business owners find success in the very competitive online market, and he is doing that. He wants to help you grow your business. He wants to help you make money, and he knows how to do it, and he's been helping businesses in this city now for 3 years, and there are so many success stories. You can be one of those. Just give him a call. Do you know that 80% of consumers look online before making a purchase decision? If you're not anywhere to be found, call the guys at SiteJab.com right now. If you schedule a free consultation and sign up for their services, they'll even throw in a free mobile website, which is a $400 value. But you have to call now. Get more clicks and more leads at SiteJab.com. Give them a call. Houston-based SiteJab.com, 713-999-4661. That's SiteJab, SiteJab.com, 713-999-4661.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And our hashtag is Barry Should Yell At if you're just tuning in. Barry Warner yesterday in the media press box at the Texans Super Bowl win yesterday against the Bucks, he yelled at four young journalists for saying, ooh, in the press box for
something
cheering.
That goes on a lot.
Yeah, for cheering. And he made a scene about it.
And it was very comfortable for everyone.
Yeah, everyone was like, wow, this is so much fun. This is not uncomfortable at all.
Were they
Maybe
wearing,
Barry should do this more often.
Were they wearing jerseys? Were they just fans? What, they were actually journalists?
They were journalists. They were trying to, I should have gotten where they worked at, but they were just trying to do their job, and they get yelled at by Barry Warner.
And we're back on the Blitz. Do you live for daily fantasy? We've got your fix with the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday daily fantasy game. It's free to play, and you could win $100. Thursday, we're having happy hour at Buffalo Wild Wings in Midtown from 5 until 7. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Buffalo Wild Wings from Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 road crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. Okay, so they talked about that this morning, but I was not there. Because unless I have to actually work, I'm not going to go to the game because I think it's kind of pointless.
Right. Well,
so
I don't know the deal on this. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people that from our station that are credentialed to be there. I'm not going to get into naming names of who needs to be there and who doesn't. But as far as I can tell, I'm the only person who goes there and actually has a job to do.
Right, because you do the updates for ESPN.
Right.
Yeah.
There's probably eight people from our station there. And I'm not one to pick and choose who should be there, who shouldn't. You know, that you work here, whatever.
That's not our job.
But trust me, if I wasn't actually working, I would get a lot more out of the game if I were watching it at home. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. And this is one reason why I don't go, because most media people are going there to be seen.
Yeah,
that's really what it is. And I you know, sorry to, because, oh well, yeah, you learn. No, you don't. You don't learn anything that you can't learn from watching it on TV
or watching the All-22
later. And the only thing that it's good for is if you want to go in the locker room afterwards and talk to some guys. great.
Exactly.
That's, yeah, and there are times when I want to do that.
But then are you going to, I mean, are you going to use the audio? Is it, I mean, or is this something?
No, I mean, you're not going to get great background from them. You're better off going to practice and catching them on the side. Because after a game, guys are going to answer the questions and get the hell out of there. So, yeah, it's, hey, a lot of guys like to go and say, hey, look at me, I'm here. That shows that I care.
Yeah.
But that's fine if you need, you know, if you feel that need to justify yourself. But I'm told, well, several people said that they weren't actual journalists, that Raheel was wrong about that.
Okay. I've heard a couple different stories, differing takes on this. I heard that they were maybe friends of a player who got in on a press credential, which, trust me, I mean,
that happens.
That happens. Or they were, you know, maybe they were journalists. I don't know who yelled at him. I didn't hear him yell at anyone. I just heard about it, and I went and asked Raheel what had happened. And I kind of went over there, and you know me, I like to rile somebody up if I've got a chance to.
Absolutely.
So I said, Barry, everything okay? And he said, everything's fine. And I said, all right, you don't have to yell at anybody else, right? By this point, he hadn't looked at me at all. And he's like, who is that? And I didn't say anything. And then eventually he turned around and he gave me a smile. Barry and I get, we've got a good working relationship. He doesn't get angry at me, at least not that I've seen.
No. Barry is a fun guy at heart. He really is.
But, yeah, so I didn't exactly hear it. I didn't see who he was yelling at, although I would love to know who it was. I want more information.
If it's somebody that got in because of, you know, players, that's
but apparently he yelled at them for cheering for some reason, and then he said something about bleeping rookies. So,
well,
shame.
Honestly, I'm not a fan of the cheering in the press box thing. But unfortunately, things have changed so much. You've got these bloggers who name themselves after the teams that are in the press box now, that are fan bloggers and things like that. That it's changed a lot from the old days where I still am annoyed by it, but I'm an old guy. It's one of the reasons why I don't want to go. I don't want to have to sit there and listen to people cheer for either team. But it's a different world we live in. Now, if it's just people that got in because they knew somebody, that's an issue with the team, and they really shouldn't allow that. They've got plenty of spaces in their suites for their players' friends. I mean, there's a whole bunch of places they can send them. But as far as the press box goes, I think we're never going to get back to the days where nobody cheers. And I know that from a fan perspective, who cares? But since Barry made news over it,
I really don't care, because it doesn't really affect me one way or the other.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you've been in press boxes, you kind of know the deal.
Yeah,
you know, you're not supposed to. And if you're gonna do it, and listen, I sit next to Chris Myers, who damn near every play is like, "Come on, man, come on," and no one's telling him to shut up. And to be fair, I doubt Barry Warner would have yelled at Chris Myers for the same thing.
Yeah.
I remember when I was at a Texas OU game, and even though Rick Perry is an Aggie, during Texas OU game, he was obviously cheering for the Horns. And Rick Perry literally climbed onto, if you've been in the press box area, you know, it's like I mean, it's kind of like it's like counters. You've got your little chunk of counter space.
Yeah.
Rick Perry climbed onto his chunk of counter space right next to me and was yelling. And some press box worker said, "Sir, there's no cheering in the press box. Please get down." And Rick Perry got down and quieted down. And I don't think the guy had any idea it was Rick Perry, but even Rick Perry, like once he was, you know, told what's what, he started acting right. So maybe Barry Warner taught these guys a lesson.
He didn't stand up and go to the "Do you know who I am" card.
I don't know.
I'm going to be the first guy out of the presidential race in 2016. All right, we'll go through the rest of the NFL when we come back at top of the hour. What happened to the music? Oh, okay.
We're
going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go through the rest of the NFL.
We'll get into that game at some point,
too. Yeah, I'm thinking it's 5:15. We'll get to that because there's a lot to talk about there. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.